Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who wish they had as much face time with Cooter as Matthew Stafford. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 108, and this is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Chris, there's some news out there I've been picking up from the FNN, the fake news network, that the Russians have been colluding. There seems to be some activity with the unions and the meatpacking industry to affect the referees and get the Packers the division win.
I want you to stay on that story, Case. You're one of the first people on it, and I want you to track that down and find out what's going on. This is something that we've suspected for a long time, and to see it's obviously going to be the Packers union, the meat packers union, that's going to be involved with that. Good investigative work there, my friend. While he does that, let's talk about today's show. We're going to talk about Zach Orr and update you on his free agency situation. We're going to talk about fantasy football because it's back. Get ready for some football. We got some fun. The league is back, and there's all kinds of options for you to play. Also, PFF is going to tell us who they think the Lions' top three players are, and much, much more on this dead news week. We got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
Yes, comrade.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, it's time to do a couple announcements. First off, a couple of show dates. Next week, there's no show, and I apologize for that. But I'm moving, as I've said. And after that, we're going back on our weekly cadence. We'll be rocking and rolling and moving forward. So no show next week. Take some time off, get yourself some relaxation, and enjoy life, because we're coming back to mess things up. Please check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam,
Michael, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Joel, Greg, Marcus, Bryce, Lucas, Danny, David, and Richard, and of course our very first donor, Mathis. Also want to call out our newest patrons, Richard, Bryce, and Chuck Nasty. Also thanks to Mike K and Floundericious for the big donation increases. You guys are all very, very much appreciated. And as we said last show, Patreon's given us the means to deliver as soon as we get this new studio set up. A lot of good stuff coming for you guys, some live streaming stuff and some other bonus content. So good ups to you guys, and thank you very much for supporting us. If you would like to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link and set up a monthly donation. Also on the website, we have a one-time donation if you feel like that's how you'd like to go. Special thanks to Brandon Kerr, hooked up with him on Twitter, and he solved a major, major issue I was having. Thank you, Brandon. You are a awesome guy, and I just want to give you a special shout out. Next to Brandon, we'll talk about Tori. Tori Petri is going to be back. We talked about it last week. We just couldn't get it going this week. You know why? She's on vacation. She's spending time with her family like you guys should be doing. What are you doing sitting around listening to us? She'll be back next show for sure, and we're setting up some time to sit down with her during training camp. So we'll have a really, really cool interview at that point. More to come on all that. We're also going to have an opportunity for you guys to meet us and greet us after the training camp on August 5th. We're going to do a bar takeover. It may actually be more than just a bar takeover. We're working with a brew pub right now, and we'll let you know more as we get the details on that. Certainly the next show, we should have a lot of that ironed out. So get ready. It's time to party. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast. That's DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case
without any pants on.
All right. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Make sure folks know what you think of the show. Hit that 5-star review button and leave a nice comment. We like some of the funny stuff, too. So if you want to be a little silly with it, take your liberties. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a call on the Lions line. Leave a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. If you leave a message, you get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And woohoo, we're going to talk about the first and most important thing. Fantasy football is back. For you guys who played before, you guys who haven't played before, fantasy football is live and ready to go, at least for sign up on the DetroitLionsPodcast.com website. It's a big deal. If you look at the menu up at the top of the website, you click on that fantasy button, there's the opportunity to sign up. There's four possibilities to sign up for. So we've heard you guys' feedback, and we've put together some good stuff here. We've got a noob league or a beginner league. You can come in and play with some other beginners. It's a little cheaper, still a cash prize. It's a good way to go. We also have an intermediate league that has team defense. So for you guys that are not individual defensive player guys, you just that's not your thing, we're still going to have an individual league with a bigger payout for you guys. With team defense, we're also going to have an intermediate league that has IDP because some of you guys are very, very passionate about that. And then, of course, the Champions League. That's one we're putting together from the top players from the last leagues. In order to get in the Champions League, you have to do a year in the IDP intermediate league and do well, and you'll get an invite, and we'll see how we do before we start bringing in other people for the Champions League. $20, $30, and $50 entry fees for the three levels of play, and there are cash prizes across the board for winners and second and third place in all but the beginner league. There's just a winner in the beginner league, so check it out. Fantasy football is back. It's, you know, full transparency, it is a fundraiser for us. But there's good payouts for you guys when you win. So make sure to check it out. Join up and play against Case, me, all the writers at Detroit Lions Podcast, and see if you've got what it takes. All right, we're going to move on now to the next topic. This is a post from Logan's Knee in the subreddit. Today I made a GIF thread on Twitter breaking down Zach Orr's play. His brother, Wisconsin linebacker Chris Orr, retweeted it, so I thought I'd share it with you all. And, you know, this is Bryce. He's a writer at DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and he did a pretty good breakdown here on Zach and his play, Case. What did you think?
Yeah, it was a great breakdown from Bryce, and there's a lot of topic to cover here with Orr, because it's really the one big topic that's come up since we spoke last. But just to talk about the breakdown he did, I mean, he really got a lot of great clips that show exactly what Orr's strengths are. And I think what I saw, his number one strength is just in his ability to read the run game and shut the run game down and constantly be where he needs to be to make sure that big plays don't happen. He's not necessarily breaking up a ton of tackles behind the line of scrimmage, although I haven't really looked at his stats there either, to be perfectly honest with you. He might be doing a lot of that too. But mostly just what I saw from a lot of the GIFs was him knowing his assignment and being instinctive about knowing where to go. And even on plays where he doesn't have a direct impact, just having him there and knowing that he's going to be there is helpful for the players around him. There's also some footage of him in pass coverage against tight ends, and while he wasn't necessarily perfect, he wasn't terrible either. He's certainly an upgrade over anything that we saw last year. So if we were to bring him in, and that's going to be the, you know, where we're going to lead here. If we were to bring him in, he would probably fit as the outside will weak side linebacker, Levy's old spot. So mm-hmm. for probably, you know, 70-80% of plays that the Lions play in nickel packages, it would be him and Davis on the field. And Whitehead sure. would be kicked to Sam as more of a rotational and package player, which would suddenly give us some interesting depth at the position too. With Warlow, who, you know, would then be able to more strictly stick to special teams where that's his, you know, specialty to begin with. That would be great. Plus, you know, we got a couple other players who might be able to work in on some sub packages for things, and it would really, from a talent perspective and a fit perspective, I think he would be a great addition for the Lions.
Interesting. Yeah, I think so. Hot commodity right now. He's visiting a lot of different teams. It seems like he's taking his time to make a decision. It's also, and we can talk about this a little bit, there's the health situation for him. And I'm wondering if maybe that's pushing teams away. You think it's a mixture? You think it's anybody would take him at this point? Who needs a good linebacker?
No, 100%. There are teams who are going to be unwilling to. And this is where this really gets into the ethical and moral questions, but also whether or not teams are willing to take a risk on the maybe they don't have a moral issue with it, but they're looking at it from a PR standpoint, and there's concern there. There's also the concern that if, you know, anything happened to him, you might easily lose him long term. So giving him any long term kind of contract is risky. Also, so there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but I think, you know, the major conversation that I've seen happen on boards, and I've had amongst other, you know, football related people, is whether or not you'd want to have somebody on the team with this kind of issue. And in order for everybody to understand exactly what's going on here, or didn't have a injury happened to him. He didn't get injured like while he was playing or anything like that. He has a defect. And I have to admit that when I was totally unfamiliar with that, and I had to have that explained to me by somebody on the sub, which, you know, because I came at it like, well, geez, if the Ravens doctors aren't even willing to, like, aren't willing to let him play for the team, then obviously, like, there's some serious injury here. Like, there's some serious risk that, you know, he may never see the field or anything like that. It's not that. He's not necessarily any more likely than any other player to miss any time. The concern is that if he does get an injury, if he does have any type of neck or back or head injury, it could be paralyzing or even fatal. And so that's where it brings up the question of, do you want your team willing to take on that level of obligation? And maybe you have thoughts on that. I have thoughts on that. What do you think?
Boy, this is
yeah, it is. It's murky territory.
Yeah, I look at it and I think back to Mike Utley and the situation when he went down. That was it was disturbing. It was disturbing to see it, you know, even throughout the year, as we very much did a lot of the you know, the thumbs up afterwards and that. And that was the big year in 91 when we won the playoff game. It was, you know, it was thumbs up for Mike Utley. I remember it, and everybody remembered and kind of held on to that. But now you're kind of, this is different. That was a kind of freak accident that happened during the game.
It's also 26 years ago.
Yeah. But it's stuck with me, like I said.
I just mean we're in a different era.
Yeah, but
concerns and different level of.
Do we want to do our? Does our team want to do that? Walk into this knowing what they've got going on here. Yeah, I remember when Reggie Brown went down, and I mean, that was terrifying. Johnny Morton was there, and we had this conversation on Twitter. Magic Mork, also goes by Deacon Blues, and I were talking about it, and a guy named Goldmember. It was scary. And, you know, they talk about it. They talk about that was the same day that Barry hit 2000, and it was weird being in the stands with no idea what was happening, but there's Reggie Brown down, you know, and Johnny Morton screaming to get over to take care of him. And, you know, it was something, right? It's just really, really risky. And I really, I don't want to, I don't want to experience that as a guy who watches the game anymore. And this is one of those things that puts the game itself, I think, in a very treacherous position. You can't have guys dying on the field. That will so quickly change the game of football. And when you have a team knowingly clearing a guy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he passes all rigor and all medical tests and so on. He's been shut down by doctors at the Ravens. So you know you're going into something. If your doctors say, oh, no, he's okay, and then he winds up dead on the field, that's you know, everything comes into question at that point. And I love the game of football so much. That risk to the game itself scares me. The risk to the player scares me. But by the same token, I mean, he's making a choice. So it's a hard nut to crack, Case. I don't know that I have an answer. If I'm a team, if I'm in charge of the team, I probably don't take him and I move on. But I can see why teams would, and especially a team like the Lions, what it could do to our linebacking core if it worked. Boy. So sorry for the non-answer. I'm just
No. Yeah. And here's I am very much so, you know, pro players in terms of in like their bargaining with the league, and I'm pro, you know, NFLPA in most things. I think that in many ways they get short end of the stick, and not I'm not talking about, you know, the Matthew Staffords and the Tom Brady's and the, you know, the quarterbacks and the elite players who are getting, you know, crazy amounts of money. I'm talking about the, you know,
Kirk Cousins.
General, right. I'm talking about, you know, most of the players and the fact that they're putting their bodies and futures on the line, for money and I prefer to see them protected more often than not. However, this comes down to his decision, because he knows what he has, and he's been told, and so have his agents, and he's making the conscious decision to go out to these teams and say, take me on.
And it is, but his decision affects a lot of other people if things go south, right?
So, no, and I totally get that aspect of it, but from a perspective of a moral issue, I don't have a moral issue with a team picking him up, considering everything that he knows about his own situation, and he's the one in charge of making that decision for himself. And he's, by all accounts, I mean, there's no one out there saying that, you know, he's not in the right frame of mind or that he's, sure, you know, that there's something
being forced
wrong
here financially.
I mean, like, to me, that ultimately is his decision. And if no team takes him, then no team takes him. But if a team takes him, I don't see that team as morally culpable. Now, they might be putting themselves in a position of potential, you know, PR issues and legal issues, and things like that. But from, like, if the Lions were to take him, I wouldn't be upset with them from that side of things. That's where I'm at.
That's a fair approach. That's a fair opinion.
He's visited the Lions and he's visited the Colts, and now he's probably visited one or two other teams. Also, they said they were going to stop, you know, reporting, you know, every stop that he makes, but he was going to visit, you know, half to more than half of the teams in the league. So it's going to take a while before he's visited all his options and finds out, you know, how many teams are out there are actually willing to take him. But from everything that came out of the Lions situation and the fact that was the first place he went, you know, I think those things combined means that there is a relatively good chance that we do sign him.
I agree.
They seemed relatively comfortable with his situation, and maybe that's incompetence on the guys who examined him with the Lions, or maybe it's overly cautious from other teams. I don't know, and that's not my responsibility to know. That's him as a player, his responsibility to, you know, weigh all of those issues and all of the things that he's been told by all the experts that he's been told it by, and decide for himself whether or not he's willing to take that risk to himself for a large amount of money, more money than I'll see in my lifetime. And so it, like it, you know, I put myself in that situation and I could see myself easily taking, you know, that kind of risk to potentially improve my life, you know, and the life of my family and my loved ones and et cetera, by that much in order to take that, that level of risk. But that's the kind of thing that every person has to decide for themselves.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting, and the decision we have as fans, if the team decides to hire him and he decides to play, and we have to decide, are we willing to watch this with the potential of that happening on the field? There's a lot, like you said, PR issues are part of it, legal issues. There's a lot that they're going to have to figure out. So we'll see how that plays out. It's definitely interesting, and one of the things that came out of that is, and I don't want to say I forgot, but I have a connection to Johnny Morton through a friend, and maybe I'll pull that string and see if we can get him on, because as Magic Mark was talking about, Johnny was in tears. This is something that really, really shook him when he saw it, and it'd be interesting to see what he was thinking and where his head's at with it now, as well as some of the other stuff from those glory days of the Lions history. So we'll see if we can get Johnny on. I know we definitely have some other people lining up to join us on the show. So we've got a couple of really, really great months ahead and heading into the season here. So next, this is from Chief Punch a Hole. Is it just me, or is Eric Ebron looking more and more like Antonio Gates? Maybe, you know, his I don't want to say mugshot because that's it, but the shot of his mug is looking more like Antonio Gates, but I personally want to see it happen on the field. I would love to see him look like Antonio Gates on the field. Case, what do you think? I mean, is it just Chief Punch a Hole, or is he kind of morphing into the Antonio Gates lookalike contest?
He's getting there a little bit, small bits at a time. And I mean that.
He's not even in his final form.
Small bits at a time. Long way to go yet on both on and off the field. The way he looks like Antonio Gates, but he could become a reasonable facsimile.
Reasonable, okay. He could do it. He could do it. He's got talent, and he's got a high ceiling. I'm waiting for it. Ready whenever he is. All right. Next, I want to talk a little bit about it's a show. It's not necessarily Lions related. It's football related, but it's this time of year. I mean, it's probably the slowest news week of the year. Okay.
This June, early July stretch is always the most painful. I log on to the Lions sub and Twitter and RNFL several times a day, just desperate for something to latch onto. But
when you're talking about who's got the silliest name, you know you're scratching the bottom of the barrel, right? Looking for something to talk about, right? And 4th of July week makes it even harder. We're doing the podcast this week just because of the way the other things worked out. So we're in there scraping the bottom of the barrel with everybody else. But this is actually not bottom of the barrel stuff. All or Nothing on Amazon Prime. It was by NFL Films and Amazon. It is a look at the Rams through this past season. You know, the whole, they were on Hard Knocks, so you got the whole 7-9 bullshit from Fisher through the season and through his firing. And when he gets fired, he announces it to his coaches. That's on the show, and it's actually pretty, I don't want to say gut-wrenching, but it's hard to watch, right? A lot of class in that guy. Jeff Fisher is a very, very classy guy, and you can tell just from that scene alone. But this was – somebody had – I'd seen this elsewhere. Somebody said, you know, big props to NFL Films for making the Rams interesting and relevant. This is probably one of the best NFL Films TV shows or that they've been involved in. You know, Hard Knocks, I know it's HBO, but NFL Films is involved. That's fun. It was a lot better early on, but it's kind of, you love the inside view, you love the behind the scenes stuff, but it's very much, you know, contrived. Is he going to make the team? Is he not? And they try to do the emotion. It's like watching the Olympics, right? And Bobby grew up with only one parent who was hit by a motorcycle. You know, and you get the whole story of the hardships of their lives. It's basically the same thing, right? They're doing the same kind of thing with these guys, and it gets a little bit kind of trying, but it's still fun to see what's going on behind the scenes. This All or Nothing is amazing. It doesn't do that. It literally just chronicles the season, and you see so much of what goes on behind the scenes. I saw my house in one of the scenes, by the way, but it's just a great show. If you don't have Amazon Prime, definitely I recommend getting it. You can get it for 30 days for free if you haven't gotten it yet. And check out All or Nothing. It's part of the Prime Video. If you have Amazon Prime, you can stream it for free. You can buy it as well to watch it. But Case, I'm going to tell you too, well worth every minute. I'm five episodes in, a little over halfway, and it's fabulous.
We'll check it out
for sure, dude. Very, very good stuff. So, for those of you that don't have Amazon Prime, I'll just kind of roll into this now. Head over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the shop link at the top. There's a way to get to Amazon. You can get your Prime there. You can order just the shows if you want it. Great stuff. I mean, Amazon's a great place. Any of your shopping you do, come on over and get there from our website. They give us a kickback and it helps the show. And you don't pay any more. And the more people that use it, you can get deals on some of the things. So, and again, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the shop link and head on over to Amazon, especially if you want to watch this All or Nothing. I just tied the little read together with the Amazon, the All or Nothing thing, but that's not why it's there. It's a great show. You guys will be happy that you watched it. Same thing, same place. If you want to get your gear, official Lions gear, official, you know, University of Michigan, Michigan State gear, whatever you want, it's all there at Fanatics. Click DetroitLionsPodcast.com on the shop link. All right, let's move on to the next topic. We've got a straw poll in the subreddit, and it's an interesting one. I just want to hear your guys' opinion on considering Doriel Green Beckham. And that was from Aram Storm. And in the straw poll, it says, hey, let's give it a shot. He's a minimum, you know, chump change kind of stuff. Let's see if you can get something out of him versus no way, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And it's almost 2-1 right now. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And there's something to be said. This is one of those guys. I was talking with Riz, and he said this is a guy that physically could have been compared to and was compared to Calvin Johnson for a long time coming out of college. Big, powerful guy.
I saw comparisons to Moss, too, when he was in college.
Yeah, for sure. And he's a guy that, it's the old story. All kinds of natural talent. But they're saying today, I mean, he isn't learning the playbook. He isn't, you know, he's just not a worker. And I think maybe with it's Robinson we picked up from the Rams in the line, right?
Yeah.
With the signing of Robinson, it's a different story. Here's a guy who I think really wants to turn it around and is going to take things very, very seriously. I don't see that happening with Doriel Green Beckham. Where's your head at on him, Case?
Well, there's two lines of thought. Like, what does it hurt to bring him in to, you know, try out? Not much, other than to say, if he's, you know, when you're in camp and when you're in this time of year, the most physically talented guys tend to, you know, shine. Because things aren't complicated, you aren't running complex plays. The amount of physical exertion is on a pretty set basis from day to day. It's in the season that things that these kind of players tend to struggle. And so the concern is, you know, if you bring in a guy like this and he shows up during camp. We've had other guys like this. Corey Fuller was, you wouldn't necessarily say Corey Fuller was the elite, you know, type of athlete necessarily that Beckham or Green Beckham is. But, similar situation. And if you bring a guy like that in who's going to show up in camp and make big plays and make the roster over somebody else, then you're going to lose out on the potential that whoever that somebody else was would be, you know, better suited to actual season football. Now, I mean, it, it To be honest with you, this is one of these off-season things that I would almost rather not talk about, just because I don't think it's not really significant. But people in the sub were, you know, there were several posts over the last couple of weeks about whether or not we should bring him in. I don't care. I'll be straight up. I really don't care one way or the other. They bring him in, fine. I'd say his chances at making the roster are slim at best. Maybe he pushes the, you know, guys like Golladay to do even better, just to, you know, fend him off. It's really the only benefit I can see. It would be absolutely amazing if he, you know, significantly improved the things that he's bad at, which is a laundry list. I would be amazed if he made the roster, even though I think that we have a relatively weak depth, you know, 4 or 5 position at the wide receiver right now. So I just don't care.
Wow. Wow. This is the off season thought. Yeah.
I tried to care one way or the other strongly on this one, and I just don't.
Yeah. I would like us to get some real depth at wide receiver. This is where I'm at. This is pissing around. I mean, at least with Zach Orr, there's the whole, you know, congenital kind of thing going on that he has. But with he's a good player. He does help your team if he can play.
Second team all pro, and for a good reason. Like,
yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Anyway, but this is a move that you're exactly right when you say you don't care, because this is bottom barrel stuff. Who's going to be? This is not improving the team markedly, right? What I want to see is somebody who's going to push Golladay for number 3. That makes me feel good. Right. I just don't see that. And I think while we have some good receivers, I think the depth of this team at wide receiver is scary. And one injury could, you talk about Matthew Stafford. Oh, he goes down, you're in trouble. One injury.
Golden Tate goes out.
You're done. Right. You're in deep, deep crap. And I just don't want. So, yeah, who cares? Who cares with this guy? This guy doesn't change the math on what we've got at wide receiver. So
we've talked quite a bit, and anybody who's listened to us quite a bit knows my general feelings on PFF, that it's not a good way to truly know how good a player is in comparison to other players, because there's so many other factors going into these kind of things. That said,
but they have some really good stuff. I mean, they do things that nobody else does, and they look at things much better than so many other people do. And you can knock at it for not being perfect, but if you know its limitations going in, it's a great system of tools, right? Yes. I mean, isn't that where we kind of land?
Yes, that's the basic.
We argued about this a lot for a long time, didn't we?
That's the basic. We don't need to get into all that again. I'm sure we will again at some point in the future. Bottom line, I don't think it's good in terms of ranking actual player talent from like the 8th rated guy to the 10th rated guy at a specific position. I don't think that's a good system for doing that. That said, okay, so they came out with their top 3 graded players for each team, and I thought this was at least interesting. And that the top 3 rated Lions right now are TJ Lang, Matthew Stafford, and Ricky Wagner. Obviously, that's interesting because 2 of those players are new.
Right.
The Detroit Lions. Now, there, as I've also mentioned, I think, you know, free agency tends to create major fluctuation in grades for players because they're changing systems and up and down and whatever. They're doing things much differently typically on their new team. So where those guys end up this year is a good, you know, question. Also, none of them, TJ, again, I don't think these are a good way to rank players, but the highest was TJ ranked 8th out of 72. Stafford was 9th out of 34, and Wagner was 18th out of 78. That actually tells you how low the average for the Lions scores were. And I think that I don't necessarily think the Lions' final record was a complete fluke. In that, I think there was some method to their madness in terms of.
They won the games.
Right. Exactly.
They should have beat Tennessee.
There was some method to their madness. I also don't think it's sustainable. I think it would. If they were to play the same season again, the same teams again, with the same players again, I think chances are good that they'd finish more with 7 to 8 wins than 9 wins. But that's just my feeling on it. But I do think that the way the Lions play their game and the way they scheme in many ways makes them, some of the players look worse than they actually are when it comes to a specific type of situation like the grading system for PFF. And PFF, for whatever reason, has always been lower. If you looked at their projected wins for the Lions, they used to do this. I don't know that they still do this, but they used to have projected wins. They were almost always lower by 1 to 2 to 3 games for the Lions than the Lions ended up finishing up, which tells you something about the way that certain teams play the game doesn't account quite exactly to the value of the PFF scores.
Good point. Yes. Yeah, for sure. I'd say, and I just want to go back to the point you made about whether if they replayed the games, how they may do, or with fewer wins. I'd say it's possibly right. And very likely it's also possible that they could have had more wins. I mean, I look at that Tennessee game and the offensive pass interference phantom call on Ebron.
I have no idea that whole game was just I don't know who the better team was that day because the referees injected themselves into
every single
drive was significantly affected by them. So that game is really impossible to sort out in my mind in terms of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Detroit Lions. So that's where I am with that.
Now, what I will say though is there's been a number of years where there's been Lions teams that were better than their final record. And they lost those close games, mm-hmm. right? And there's close games in the NFL, and when you wind up on top, you take it and you go with it, and that's fine. I think it's indicative of a team that's on the upswing. Like you said, we have a couple of players here that are ranked highly, and they're new guys. I think we added some great talent. I'm really still nervous about Taylor Decker, what he's going to do, and how we're going to use our wideouts this year, because I think that's how we use them is just as important as who we have because of the lack of depth of that position. I still think this team is a team that's moving up. There's the discussions on the subreddit about the schedule. What are people thinking? Is it that hard? Is it that good? This is a real funny year. I think this is going to be one of the more difficult years to predict this team's outcome early because of so many unknowns that we have going in. And it could be a train wreck. It could be, super stardom. It's just all so funky this year. It just really feels weird. So I like who we added. And hey, PFF, you got something right there. Ranking those guys high. All right. So let's move on. We got another great, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We've got some really, really great writers. I'm not sure if you guys have been checking it out, but there's some great articles there. These aren't 300 word blurbs about a tweet that happened. There's real stuff here with real research and really good data. And this time of the year is a time of the year we talk to the writers, we challenge them, say let's look at some things differently. There's not a whole lot of news being generated by the players themselves. We don't want to write 300 words. Golden Tate tweeted that he went out to dinner at the Chop House last night and he got the shrimp. Oh my God. Right. This, we're not doing that kind of garbage. So these guys, there's a really good set that of articles coming out. And I like this. If you're a college football fan, this might be up your alley a little bit too. Lucas Walker, also known as Gabe Athouse on the subreddit, he's been writing articles about the top colleges at producing Detroit Lions. And he's looking at players that have come out of the schools and their systems, and then looking at how they performed with the Detroit Lions and seeing, is there a system that has produced more better talent for the Lions than others? And is there a school that stands above the rest in providing good talent? And is there a correlation here amongst that sort of thing? So it's a pretty interesting look, I think, at how this goes. The most recent one he did was looking at University of Wisconsin and, you know, DeAndre Levy. Of course, Rick Wagner, we haven't seen a whole lot from him. But he goes through and then he winds up with a grade, a conclusion and a grade at the end. And he's working his way up to who that top college was. Really, really good stuff, really good insight into some of these guys' historical careers, where they came from, and what they've done since they've come to Detroit. It's interesting stuff. If you get a chance, check out that series of articles. I've really enjoyed it. Of course, you know, I'm a little bit of a homer because it's our site, but I think there's been some really good writing there, and from all the guys, really. I'm seeing some really, really good stuff. You're going to see some stuff on the NFL drug policy coming out. You're going to see some really good scouting stuff coming out here of some of the players. I think you guys are going to be really impressed here, especially in this offseason, at the quality of the content that you'll see there. So make sure to check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and get a good look at this stuff. I think you are going to like it. All right, so we'll move on. It kind of felt a little bit like a commercial, but I'm proud of what these guys are doing, so we'll just kind of go to the next topic. This is what happens in the 4th of July week, guys. This is a good one from Probably Lying Maybe in the subreddit. Went to a couple of antique stores with my wife over the weekend and ended up replacing one of my favorite childhood memories. 36 years ago, he wore out his original copy. And for those that don't know, in 1980, there was a surge. And I remember this. There was a surge of excitement for the Detroit Lions. They were on fire. They came out of the gate. We had just drafted Billy Sims, who was the rookie of the year that year. We went 4-0 to start the year. He blew up. Billy Sims just tore up the NFL. And we came from, I believe it was a 2-win season the season before. Got Billy Sims, and we just started rocking it. And Jimmy Spider-Man Allen, he was a safety with the team. And at the time, it was the defense was known as the Silver Rush, right? And the defense was this hot, hot commodity for the Lions. And Billy Sims on offense as a running back. It was just, there was so much. 4-0 to start the season. Everybody was good. They were playing Queens, Another One Bites the Dust. That was the Lions theme song. They were rocking the dome. Those were fun, heady, heady days. Everybody was certain that this was finally the Lions team to break through and do it. And our guy, Jimmy Spider-Man Allen, recorded his own version of Another One Bites the Dust. And that one wound up being the 9-7 Lions who missed the playoffs that year. Oh, God. Another heartbreak. So, that was tough. I got a chance to meet Billy Sims at the Thanksgiving game last year. He's still an awesome, awesome guy. But I'm a big lover of vinyl. If any of you guys find a 45 at an antique store or wherever else of that, I would love, get in touch with me, because I would buy the hell out of that right now. I love old vinyl, and anything to do with the Lions, I would love. And I'll hook it up. I'll get you guys. I'll get it recorded and put it up here so you guys can listen to it too. What's your favorite old Lions memory, Case? It's gonna be funny. Well, in 2009.
Right, exactly. I didn't become a Lions fan until about 2008, 2007. That it was 2007 when I, you know, first would have called myself a Lions fan, and then 2008 happened, and that's when I, you know, really that solidified things. So I mean, as far back as that is concerned, truth of the matter is, though, I remember Barry from when I was a kid, because I didn't follow football, but I knew who Barry was. I knew who Barry was from playing Tecmo.
Oh yeah. Tecmo Bowl was the bomb. So God, good times.
I suppose like as far back as my fandom goes, the rally at the end of 2010, without Stafford, but with Hill in, they won four games in a row to finish out the season. I remember one of them was Tampa Bay. Another, I don't remember the other three off the top of my head, but I mean, that was a really exciting time, because that led into the hype for the 2011 season, which, you know, proved to at least be, you know, mostly warranted. So that was a good time.
Yeah, those were good years. There's a lot of good Lions stuff. The historical stuff, I absolutely love it. And you guys, again, that memorabilia, that old school stuff, I'm always interested in it. You know, let me know if you find any. So let's move on. You've got a great thing that you do. And here we are in the off season, and you're trying to find ways to talk football with anybody. Well, if you get your family involved, you have someone at least close that you get to talk to. What's this about football and family? Football is family,
right?
According to the NFL case. What do you got with that?
And we talked about fantasy football. But when it comes to fantasy football, you really have to be like an in-depth fan to play. You have to know who the players are. You have to, you know, or at least be able to follow it pretty closely. Most of us probably know quite a few people who aren't quite as zealous about it, but still like the game and still, you know, we'll watch, you know,
Super Bowl parties, you know, and that kind of stuff. Know,
games when they're on, or maybe they even watch all the games, but they don't, you know, pay very close attention or whatever. They just, you know, they appreciate the game, or maybe they just want something to, you know, maybe bring some people into your life into football a little bit. So we do this thing in my family, my wife's family, specifically, where we call it the family league, and there we have eight of us, and I commission it just because it facilitates the process. But every year there's eight of us, and we draw names out of a hat to determine a draft order, and we go four rounds like a serpentine draft, so like 1-8, 8-1, 1-8, 8-1, and we each draft teams. So like I ended up with the very first pick overall this year, and I'm sorry I didn't take the Lions with the first overall pick. I took the Patriots with the first overall pick. And then, you know, like I had the last pick of the second round and the first pick of the third round and the last, very last pick, who I ended up getting stuck with the Bears with the very last pick. They're probably going to be better than a few other teams, but I would have just as soon, you know, had the 49ers than have to halfway root for the Bears. But we, you know, I think we do a buy-in of about $25 each, and it's just it's a nice little way to get people involved,
separated from their money,
right? Right. I mean, it's real easy to, like, if somebody doesn't know anything at all, it's real easy to just look up a power
take their
ranking
money
online to give them. Obviously, like as in depth of knowledge I have of the NFL, I think I've come in, you know, in the top three several times. I don't think I've ever won it, because I mean, you know, no matter how much you know, you can never predict, you know, the randomness, and you know, as long as you know, even if you're just picking the teams that you know, there's even a good chance that they'll surprise, you know. So it's a good way. We used to get my mother-in-law before she passed away. That was like the only football-related thing she ever did was this thing. But she loved it because it was fun. And you know, we'll have one of my little nieces and nephew pick the names out of the hat, so we get them involved. And it's just kind of a good way to get the whole family involved in a little bit of football. So anyway, just an idea for my family to all of yours, or your friends. If you're trying to slowly introduce some friends into the league, it's a good way to do that.
Sucker them in, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Well, there's not going to be an Around the Division this week because it is kind of dead, but I'll take us around the NFL really quick with one story that I found hilarious, and then we'll close it out. Guy showed up at his sentencing for a murder trial. He hired an assassin to kill his sixth wife, and then he murdered the assassin. He shows up to the sentencing wearing a Tony Romo jersey. So that's...
yep.
There you go. I thought it was Jerry Jones when I saw the original headline. We'll move on. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Make sure you use the comments and subreddit to give us your feedback. We appreciate all of that. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or head over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Give us a follow, like, all that kind of stuff. And make sure to follow us on Twitter as well, @DETLionsPodcast. That's @DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place to see Case
without pants.
And it's really the only way to see Case. Make sure to check us out and help us out by using the Amazon link. Go ahead and use that shop link at the top of the website in the main menu. And also, when you're done with that, and getting all the stuff that you dream of, head on over and leave us a voice message via Skype @Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or pick up the old telephone and leave us a voice message on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Lastly, be sure to go to Detroit Lions Podcast and subscribe to the podcast. That way we can come in your little box automatically. Who wouldn't want that? Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Woo! Let's go, come on, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions!
This is Spider-Man Allen, and I have a message for everyone in the NFL. Spider-Man sitting on the seat with his helmet way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound to clean. The lines began to roar. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat? Come and watch the Detroit line that no one seems to beat. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one's gone, and another one's gone, and another one bites the dust. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. Offense, defense, special team. If you're dealing with the line, you know what I mean. Last year's team was 2-14, but this is the year for New Orleans. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you sitting on the edge of your seat? Come and watch that Detroit line that no one seems to beat. And another one bites the dust. And another one bites the dust. And another one's gone, and another one's gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
I'm the Spider-Man and I can do whatever a spider can. I can spin a web any size, I even catch football just like that. We got an offensive line who's very tough. We got a defensive line called the Silver Rush. We got Dexter Buzzy, Horace King, see Billy run. They couldn't catch him with the gun. Tick tock, that's money clock. There's Gary Danielson, drop back pass. Touchdown, wide receivers, Freddie Dot Scott.
Another one bites the dust.
Touchdown. Hit those line roads. Watch the score.
Another one bites the dust.
Super Bowl.